Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Well, certainly is good to see you all tonight. Amen. Praise God. As my wife said, I've been a busy boy today. Hallelujah. She sent me this morning. I was just like thumbing through my phone or whatever as I was still laying in bed, and she sent me a faith fix question, and I sent her back a message and said, I can't answer that. I'm working on the sermon today, you know. And then I ended up getting into it. And it's funny because that one faith fix question went from one question. It was a short question, really short question, very quite simple question, actually. But it ended up needing three parts to it. And so I wrote three different faith fixes over it. But just to give you an idea, I mean, that was a couple hours worth of time spent doing that. Amen. And when I started, I didn't know it was going to be two or three. I thought it was going to be two, I think, kind of early on. And then I realized, well, it's probably got to be three. So glory to God. But there's three different parts. So if you get, is it today's face? It's already out. So today's was the first part of it. There'll be two more parts come with it. Glory to God. But there's a lot of good stuff in there. That's one of the reasons I love that Ask the Pastor, is because that, it's not that the question itself needed that much answer, but there was more that could be expounded on and should have been. Amen. And so that's a wonderful thing when we can tap into that. Amen. Glory to God. Well, today's message, and this, it was funny because as I was preparing this, another thing, I didn't plan on this being part of a series or anything like that, but when I got today's message, I realized that it coincided with last week's message. Amen. And so it's kind of a continuation on that. It's a different vein, but it's a continuation. They go together. And then I also got direction for next week's message as well. And so, there's a lot that God wants to say to us and get over to us. Amen. And so we're gonna get into that more. Get into that more tonight. Amen. Tonight's message is called The Shallow End. Amen. Praise the Lord. And last week, we saw God. We talked about how God brings us together. Remember, stick to the plan was the name of the message, and the idea of God brings us together for a reason, and that there's purpose in us being here. That you're not here just by accident. That church isn't just an accident. And that's why we don't pick and choose churches. That's why we don't just, you know, one time we'll go to this church, the next day we'll go to this church. There is sometimes if you're trying to figure out where you're planted, you know, there is some moving around. But once you're planted in a place where you know that God has you, you need to stay there, stay put there, and see what God wants to do in you, do through you there and with you there. Amen? Praise the Lord. So last week we saw that, but this week we're kind of dealing with a different side of that, and that's we're getting into more of the purpose. Amen? This came to me as I was preparing, that never knowing that purpose that God brings us together will keep us only on the surface. And of course, the shallow end, it's kind of a reference to a pool and water. And of course, when I get into these, sometimes I can see a lot of different, metaphors and illustrations in it. Amen. But we know this, if you're out in the ocean, if you're floating around, you're just on the surface, you can enjoy the ocean. But how many know that there's a lot more underneath? You know, I often think it would be neat when I'm on the lake or I'm on the ocean or something like that. I often think it would be neat to be able to, for an instant, take away all the water and see what's actually underneath you. You know, you would find things, surely be surprised by some things and stuff like that. But we know it's much deeper. Praise the Lord. But you know, a lot, the same thing is with God. There is a surface level of God. Amen. Really, the church, when we first come into the faith, that's really just a surface level. The unfortunate thing in the question, I sent it in the text, but the question that I heard in my spirit was, are we surface Christians? Are we just floating around on the surface, just kind of going with the flow? Or is there something more to what we're doing? Amen? You know, with the ocean, the same similarity with the ocean, there's things called currents underneath. And a lot of times, you know, the water can look still. If you look at the lake, the water can look still or fairly still, but there can still be a current underneath. Amen? It can be going in a different direction. It could be doing different things. Sometimes, you know, you get rip currents and stuff like that, things you can't see, things that will thrust. You know, if you were swimming and got caught up in a rip current, it would thrust you out to sea and stuff like that, you know. And so with God, there's very much the same way. There's the surface things that most people interact with. This is what the world sees. When they see Christianity, they see surface Christianity. They see just the very things on the surface. They don't understand the deeper things, amen? They don't understand what would possess somebody to come to church on a Tuesday night, much less give up a Sunday morning for it, amen? You know, I've heard in the past people complaining about, you know, church and stuff like that. And they said, well, I would come to church, but Sunday's my only day. It's my only day off. Well, if you understood what we come together for, then you would understand that Sunday is, even if it was your only day, you would be thankful you at least had one. Amen? One to come to God. Amen? And as you progress in the faith, you know, staying in on the surface, it isn't going to be interesting enough. You know, the surface stuff is what people, but there's a lot of Christians that come into the faith and they stay just on the surface. Now, of course, we've been preaching about a lot of different aspects of the church and how we receive things and changing our mind. Does anyone remember me saying anything about that? Amen. And so we know that there is a new kind of thinking we have to embrace and stuff like that. Those are the ways that we start diving and getting into deeper things. As I was thinking about the shallow end, I was thinking about a swimming pool. And I remember as a kid, when we come up to a swimming pool, the first thing you notice is, you notice the fun of a swimming pool, but you notice all the fun things around the swimming pool. You notice things like a slide, right? The kid would notice a diving board. I remember the first time I see a diving board and was told what it was. I was excited about that, although I couldn't swim. Now, I didn't go out there and jump on it. Thankfully, whoever was there with me, I don't even remember at the time, but they would have kept me from that. But, you know, that's an exciting thing to see that. But you can't use a diving board until you notice they always put them at the deep end. Because they're no good at the shallow end. The shallow end doesn't get you anywhere. The shallow end gets you wet. That gives you a taste of what's there. But the shallow one's going to make you want to swim, amen? If you go to a wave pool in, like an amusement park or something, it's the deeper end that's fun. Everybody, you know, they have that last rope going across that you can't cross, but everybody wants to go across it. But they get as close to that rope as they can. Why? Because that's where the fun happens, amen? And so the same thing is with God. In the shallow end is where you get wet, but in the deep end is where the fun stuff is. That's where the true enjoyment is. And that's where the promises of God are at. That's it. You know, they can trickle into the shallow end. But how many know the shallow end only holds so much water? You know, it's only so much that can go in there, but the deep end holds much more. Amen? Are we surface Christians? Are we floating around on the surface just doing the thing, just going to church and doing the thing? Or are we actually participating and being what part of what God wants us to do? Amen? Glory to God. Turn with me to Proverbs 20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20. We're going to go to verse 5. Praise God. If I can find it. Oh, there we go. My pages are sticky here. I don't know why. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, of course, this is in reference, really, it's in reference to the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's talking about counsel in the heart of man. The word heart in the Old Testament, I would imagine here as well, but usually it's talking about like the innermost part, like the heart of something, the center of something, not necessarily your heart. It's, you know, it's the center of your being, amen? And we understand that there's a center of our being in which all things emanate. And so here it's talking about the counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. There's things deep within us that we don't even know. In our spirits, amen? You know, if we've been born again, we've been born again with a new spirit. Thank God that we get a new spirit. But we're given this new spirit, and a lot of times, you know, there's not much done with that spirit. A lot of times, there's a lot of Christians, many Christians, and in fact, I would say a good majority of Christians, are living with a very shallow understanding of their faith. You know, Christians that can be easily moved by things, those are Christians that are just shallow Christians. Christians that can be changed and you know, like, you know, and we've seen it in here. If you've been around here for any length of time, surely you've seen people that come in and maybe they were even excited at first. Maybe they were even just really fired up at first. And then all of a sudden they just started, you know, they started getting bored and they started getting lax and they started doing. Listen, that's not because God's doing less. It's because they're not connecting as much. You know, that they came in and connected so much, but they decided not to get any deeper. Amen. You know, I love how man does things. Again, I can't get away from these references of the ocean. But, you know, man is never satisfied. And there's good reason for that. The Father has good reason for that. Man is never satisfied with just being whatever. Amen. You know, it was one thing for man to learn how to float on the ocean and build boats and stuff like that. But, you know, that wasn't enough. Then at some point, man wanted to start diving and stuff like that. And when they start diving, then they start wanting to explore things and, you know, all kinds of crazy things. And so, you know, all of those things come as you, because it gets boring just floating around on the surface, you know. I'm one of those people. Like, I love going to the beach. I don't love staying at the beach. My wife can stay at the beach all day for weeks on end, praise the Lord. I get bored, you know what I mean? If I'm in an inner tube, she could be in an inner tube floating around a pool. I get bored with that. And I have to believe that's because I'm a man. And there's things that I got to get to. There's things I got to do. You know, there's things, amen? And I got to get to those things, hallelujah. But this is the way it is with God when we understand this, when we understand scriptures like this, that we can stand surface-level counseling. You know, there's basic parts of Christianity that you get so far with, but then there's really getting to know the Lord. There's getting to know the things that God wants to do, amen? And those are the things that will encourage and continually encourage us and stir us up and keep us running after something good, amen? Praise the Lord. It says, a man of understanding will draw it out. And again, I love this part of the scripture because, you know, I also think of a well. In fact, I drew a picture once of a well and a bucket coming up, you know, and put this scripture with it. You know, and there's that idea that you have to dip down deep into the well and you have to draw out what's down there, way down under the surface. And so is the things of the Spirit. We have to, if we want to get further with God, if we want to understand God, if we want to understand ourselves, really what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to dig deep and draw these things out. Amen? Glory to God. I wrote this down and it's good. The deep end should entice us, shouldn't it? Amen? There's something wrong if the more exciting doesn't entice you. If the deeper things, if they don't entice you, there's something wrong with you. And yes, there's more responsibility that comes with it, but there's also greater blessing. Amen? You know, the Lord gives us according to our ability. He will deal with us according to our ability. The greater things in God are found with greater ability. Greater ability is built as we desire and hunger and seek after what God has for us. Amen. Okay, so we were there in Proverbs. Let's go on over to 1 Corinthians. Praise God, hallelujah. The deep things of God. You know, and this doesn't have to be weird. I'm not saying it won't be weird. I'm saying it doesn't have to be weird. You know, some people think that spirituality means that you have to all of a sudden be weird. But it's not weird in the sense of what people think of as weird, but it's weird in the sense of different. Amen? It's different than the way you lived before. It's different than the things you did before. But I truly can't imagine living life any different than we do now unless it's better than what we do now. Unless it's more, amen. I want to know more about God. I seek God not just because I want stuff, but because I truly want to know Him more. You know, as I think about the different experiences that I've had with the Lord, the different things that He's showed me, the different things that He's revealed to me, it just makes me want more of Him. And when I mean more of Him, it's not because I just want some kind of spectacular thing that I can have experiences and then I can stand before people and say this. No, because it's truly awesome when you get revelation from God. When all of a sudden your eyes are open to something and you're looking at it and you're like, glory to God, and you're blown away. And in a moment sometimes, these things can change your entire life. I have these experiences with God often, amen? And every Christian is meant to have these experiences with God. Unfortunately, a lot of times, churches or people in churches, they just want to leave it to the spiritual leadership to get into those things. Amen? They want to just leave it to, we'll just leave it to the spiritual leaders that they can direct us and guide us, and we'll just, and there's nothing wrong with following. That's a good thing. But we should be following into something. We should be going into it as well. Amen? And I know that this year, the Lord has been dealing with me, of course, a lot about transforming our mind and changing the way we're thinking. But he wants to bring us to a certain place. He wants to get us, he wants to bring us into a certain depth of him, amen? And we're not going to get there if we just always have church as usual, if we just do the programs and we just have the things. Let's get to know God. And one of those things that the Lord is leading us into is prayer. I know on Tuesday nights, one of the end goals of Tuesday nights is to get us to a place where we're praying together and we're praying out the very mysteries of God, where we're praying out the things. I'm not saying that all the services or the whole service will be that, but we need to, many of us know how to pray by ourselves, in other words, or we at least have some idea of it. We pray, hopefully you pray to God, amen, but you have kind of a way of praying, but there's a different way you pray when you are praying with a group, amen. It's just like coming to church or speaking, for example. I don't speak this. I tell people all the time. I think my brother Michael here and I have had some really good conversations. And, one of the things that's come up, I've thought often, is that, people make the mistake. He wasn't making the mistake, but we were having this conversation about this. But people often will make a mistake. They'll hear a preacher preach in a certain way, and they'll try to go into the world and take that to them. But see, you can't go preaching at people that don't want to be preached to. People that don't want to get preached to aren't going to get preached to. Amen? And so you have to understand that. And so there has to be an anointing to preach, and then you need to be following that. One of the things I wrote in the Faith Fixes was this, is that, the anointings of God are very interesting. The abilities of God, the gifts of God, the different manifestations of the Spirit, the different graces. What are all these things? When all of a sudden I can do something I couldn't do before, that's a grace. Amen. That's an ability. It's a power. It's a whatever. It's a gift. Whatever you want to call it. All these things are referred to in Scripture. But one of the things I was even saying in the Faith Fix is, even as a pastor, even though this is my job, and even though this is what I do week in and week out, several times a week. Amen. Even though this is what I do, I can't turn it on. I can't make myself preach. And what I mean preach is when I get into a flow and I can just start going and hearing things from God and start just rolling with it and actually have, because the truth of the matter is if I ever sit here and preach a 15-minute sermon, the truth of the matter is that's me coming with only me. And that's me just reading the Scriptures. If there's any filler at all, if it goes anything beyond that, glory to God, God's been involved in it somehow. Because I can't do it on my own. I can't turn on the preach. And that sometimes scares the bejesus out of me, or the Jeeves out of me, amen. Glory to God. Sometimes it just rocks my world when I gotta think, man, I gotta get there. I don't feel like I got anything in me, amen. But I gotta go stand in front of a group of people, which I don't want to do in the first place. But now I gotta go there. And almost every service, I have at least one point before every service where I have this thought go through my mind: oh my God, you're gonna go out there and stand in front of people and you're gonna talk. And it usually scares me. I'll just be honest with you, because I mean, many of you know what I'm talking about, because if I went to most of you and said, hey, I want you to give the sermon this week, you'd start filling your drawers. You know what I mean? But that's how I feel a lot of the times when I come to preach. I feel like, sometimes you get the little rumbly down in the tumbly and you want to, you're just not sure what you're going to do. But see, that's why I rely on, and that's why it's such an awesome thing to rely on God, because he meets us all the time, doesn't he? Amen? Because you'd get bored real quick if I was just coming and not being able to say much. Praise the Lord. But what keeps you coming back is all the wonderful things that you hear coming out of my mouth. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. But there is truth to the things that you keep coming back for to get fed the word that's been feeding you. Amen? And that's why I keep coming back too. But I can't turn it on. The gifts and callings of God, they're not something you can just turn on, but they are things that you learn from spending time with him. They're things you learn from following him, amen? Glory to God. I always think it's funny. I can write a sermon in 5 minutes. I've done that before. In 5 minutes, I've put together. So I've sat here as my wife has been speaking or a song has been going. I've sat here and put together a sermon before by the Holy Spirit. But I write a faith fix, it'll take me an hour and a half. It's just a different kind of flow. It's a different kind of anointing, amen? I was thinking about that today. It's interesting. But these are, what do I tell you these things? Because God doesn't always do things the same way, and he's not always going to do things with you the same way. And what you have to understand is he will hold the principles in the word, but the carrying of it out will look differently. And so each of us, one of the most important things, you know, I've often talked about those services that mark you. And they you know, one thing maybe it was said that marks you for life and that you will hold on as an anchor to your soul. It was one of those happened to me with Pastor Nancy Dufresne in the Jamestown Church. I'll never forget this. She said, you have to know how God speaks to you. Every Christian should know how God speaks to them. Praise the Lord. They should discern it. They should learn to discern it. They should practice. You know, and that's why sometimes when I say things like, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here, so forgive me if I'm just kind of going on. But, there's a lot of good things. When I say things, sometimes I'll say things from the pulpit like, you know, people will come, they'll say, this is God, or God told me this, and you'll say, no, you didn't. And I know that it isn't God. And, you know, I know that there's a place, if I'm sitting in your position, and I think about this often, so I'm glad it came up tonight. But if you're sitting in your place, a lot of times you'll hear things like that, and you could get discouraged. You could think, well, do we know anything then? Can we even hear from God? Do we even know how? Because I was sure that I heard from God, and Pastor didn't think I did, and that can be a frustrating thing, amen? But see, we have to allow ourselves to be taught. If you haven't been taught something, if you haven't gone through the process, the learning process on anything, our friend Denny back here is a mechanic. I'm sure Denny could tell you is that most people that come in there don't know what they're talking about. They come in, and I'll be at the top of that list. I don't have any idea what's going on. They might give him a sound or make clinking noises or something. This is what my car is doing. But he knows certain things because he's got experience. And another thing Denny could probably tell you is that there's certain things in his business that you couldn't know unless you've just done it for a long time. Unless you've been across these kind of cars. You know, there's an interesting thing that I find in conversations with people that are in the trades like that, like Denny, is that when, when they talk about their trade, there's things that they learn just from being around it. They'll know this kind of, you know, like in his case, you would know certain kinds of cars. What kind of car? Is this kind of car good? This year of this kind of car good? And he might know, you know, stay away from it and stuff like that, all from that learning. But he wouldn't expect, or certainly wouldn't expect, I don't think, any random customer coming off the street to know all that. That's why he stays in business, because the average customer doesn't know all that. Amen? And even sometimes the things that he has learned over the years, he might run across a problem, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Denny, but you could probably run across the problem that maybe you didn't know specifically how to fix, but your knowledge of mechanics has helped you do that. And so, that's kind of the thing. Same thing with God, that there is a perfecting that we can do. There is a understandings that we can get. And if we haven't been taught those things, maybe we've been in a church that doesn't teach very good the things of God. Well, how are we supposed to know it then? And if you just, if you just figured it out, one of the things I love about the trades as well is that, if you have a carpenter, I was raised up in kind of the carpentry trades and with the knowledge of those things. And one of the things that I've learned is that every contractor will tell you that their way is the best and nobody else knows what they're talking about. But the one thing I've learned is that there's 50 different ways to build a wall and all 50 of them will probably work. Amen. So we have to be people that understand that about the things of God, that there are many different ways that things work with God, but there are principles. There are still principles that if you don't nail two boards together, they probably won't stay together without fasteners, amen? That's a principle, amen? So you can't just stack them up there or put one, or the more that you put in, the more it'll hold, stuff like that. And so with God, as we back to the things, they don't hear from God, a lot of times it's because people are unwilling to listen and learn. And what I've found is that I've learned to hear more from God than I did before because I was willing to be corrected. And when I learned that, no, that wasn't God, then I was able to distinguish between God's voice and the voice that wasn't his. Amen? And so with practice, we can all get better. A man of understanding draws it out. But how many know if you dipped your bucket down into the well and you pulled out sediment, you'll just go, hey, that's good water. We're going to drink it all anyways. No, you're going to filter it out. You're going to drink the water. Amen. And so the same thing is with the things of God. Not everything in us is good. Sometimes there's a filtering process we need. Sometimes your ideas of, you know, you might have an experience and the experience, we can't go on experiences. Because experiences don't tell us much about truth. Experiences can be manipulated. Amen. I remember there was a preacher once that was talking about how he said to another preacher, he said, you watch. I can't remember where it was or what it was, but I think Pastor Webb told us about it. But this preacher said, I can go out there and I can get this audience stirred up just talking about collard greens. I think it was collard greens. And that's exactly what he did. He went out there and he started just preaching collard greens, nothing else. And he had that crowd on their feet and just, you know, hooting and hollering and being excited. What's the point? They were manipulated. Not manipulated, but you know that the point was is that their emotions were stirred. And that's why sometimes, you know, people, you know, even the flow of pastoring, you know, a lot of times I preach, that preach comes on me. And you know when it does, all of a sudden I get fired up and I start spitting and sputtering and dancing around and I just go and I just saying da-da-da-da-da and I'm yelling and all these things. That gets exciting for some people. But if you're not careful, you can also get to the place where you can't receive from somebody who doesn't preach that way or teach that way because you're like, you're looking for the excitement. So we have to be adaptable and be able to hear things when it's God, amen? I'll say this all the time, over and over and over again. My pastor's way of ministering is not my favorite way of hearing ministry. It was very difficult for me at times. But I'm going to tell you something. I know that God placed me with him for a reason. Because what he had is what I needed. And as I've seen that over the years and even more today, now I've learned to gotten to the place where I embrace it. If I get to sit under him, not sit under him, but you know what I mean? If I get to sit and listen to him preach or teach, I embrace it and love it because I don't get those opportunities as much anymore, amen? Praise God. Well, there's a lot of good stuff in here, amen? But we're talking about digging deep and pulling things out, amen? So let's turn to, are we in 1 Corinthians 2:9? Amen. We'll read to verse 16. It says, but as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, I've said this here before, but I'll say it again just in case somebody wasn't there. But, you know, oftentimes throughout church history, these scriptures are used at funerals. I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love them. People preach it at funerals because they think, well, this is a good way. People don't know what heaven is like. But see, this isn't what this scripture is talking about. Again, we keep things in context. The scripture has nothing to do at all. In fact, I've been discovering there's a lot of scriptures that we use as things like funerals that aren't really talking about the afterlife at all. It's talking about the life here. And see, knowing that is important because when we know that, we won't miss the things that they have for us. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. If you haven't caught on, tonight's flow is a different flow for me. It's a different way that I minister. There's several different ways that I can minister under the unction, under the Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit is moving. But I can tell you that this is equally as much a usage of that ministry. If you notice, there's a little bit different flow. I mean, can you notice that? Can you sense that? The reason I say that is because, again, my heart is to get people to understand how God works and how God does things. And you may not know exactly how he's doing it by listening to me, but being able to recognize that is you going a step higher. You know, there's people that can read through the Bible, they can read through without knowing the author, and they can see different authors just by reading, by the way it's written. I can't do that. But there's some people that are like, oh, that was definitely Paul, that's Timothy, or that they'll go back to it because they know that that's who was saying those things that way. Amen? But it's just like this, like if you saw a writing that was mine and you've been around me enough, but then you saw a writing that was someone else's is totally different, you would probably be able to distinguish between them. Amen? Glory to God. And so there's one way that I minister. I won't even know if there's a name or whatever, but there's one way that I minister. Often when I end up getting into that flow, I tell my wife on the way home from church, I'm like, that's my favorite way to minister. I walk away just energized and feeling just awesome. And just like it's not awesome about myself, you know, but I just feel it's just a good, it's enjoyable for me. Amen. So there's ways that we can enjoy even how God uses us. Amen. I hope this is okay. It's really blessing me to be able to, this is not that flow, by the way, but I am enjoying it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What I'm enjoying is to be honest with you, my full enjoyment tonight, honestly, is standing here before my people and ministering things that I know God has for you and just having this kind of fellowship. It's precious. It's wonderful. And I just thank God for it. Amen. These are the things, I mean, when you enter into what God has for you, whatever it is, there's so much joy in it. There's so much just blessing and fulfillment in it. You walk away and you're just, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. So things that, so eye has not seen or ear heard nor have entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, you kind of get that reference like we just saw over there in Proverbs, right? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so what it's talking about here, of course, is telling us that, you know, this is why I keep going back to Romans 12:2, about being transformed by the renewing of our mind and getting that, not being conformed to the world. Why? Because the world doesn't know the things of God, but we can know the things of God. But see, if we're consumed with the things of the world, we can't know the things of God because they are at war with one another. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, and that's that process. You can compare spiritual things with spiritual. When you know one thing about spirituality, that's why I'm being so wordy tonight and sharing all these things with you. Because when you hear some of these things, it's going to help you later on when the Spirit of God is talking to you or as you have experience and stuff like that. You'll be able to relate back to those things and start connecting dots. And then you start discerning correctly. Then you start hearing from God. You start understanding. See, a lot of people are like, how do I hear from God? How do I know my direction? How do I know these things? You start by just being hungry for it. It seems like a big task. You come in, you're just like, I'm just hungry for it. I don't even know. Just don't get discouraged. Just trust God. If you can trust God that he will deliver to you what you need to know, he will deliver it. And at certain points, you will get revelation. You'll get moments of revelation, and all of a sudden, it will make sense. Sometimes you'll have to go around a tree 50 times before you get it. But then all of a sudden, man, you got it, and it can't be taken from you. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I see this so often as a pastor, that people, and this is a constant fight with people, and this isn't, I don't mean I'm fighting with people, but I mean it's a constant battle within humans. We all deal with this. But we have to recognize it, and the only way to recognize it is for us to know that there's something to recognize. But this constant battle that we have is that we have our flesh pulling us, our flesh tugging at us, you know, whatever it would be. And we get into this place where we're battling what is truth, what is not. But see, if we learn to recognize what the flesh is and what the Spirit is, it will be easier for us to discern it or to look at it and say, this is right and this is wrong. Amen? Glory to God. You know, there's so much of this, and I'm going to just, I knew I was going to share this. I didn't know how it was going to work in until right this moment. But there's so much happening in our society that is satanically based. And one of the biggest things is this, and this is the thing I'll warn you about, and I'll even get to why. But one of the biggest things is the redefining of truth. To redefine something by all kinds of other things. To make something, I mean, they make it so confusing that you don't even know really what you can say and what you can't say. You know, because one thing is okay for a minute, then all of a sudden it turns around and it's not okay now. Because now you can't know whether you're a boy or a girl. Now it's, you know, it could be either or, and it could be this, it could be that. It could be based on how you feel today or how you don't feel today and all these things. And so why are those things evil? It's not because of those things themselves. See, this is another thing that Christians can get distracted by in the flesh. They see all this stuff happening and they just want to attack it. They see these things happening and they just want to go after it. That's flesh-minded. That's not spirit-minded. Spirit-minded is understanding what's truly going on. What's truly going on is when you redefine truth in all areas, then everything is subject to redefinition. And when that happens, people will take things like this and say, well, this is what I think it means. And this is what I think it means. And it could be whatever we all think. And then it could be, well, your way is your way and my way is my way. There is no real truth. And yeah, these are good guidelines for some people, but for some people they're not. And so you understand, see, this manipulation of truth is coming to try to rob us from the truth. And Christians are falling in line with it. Christians are falling victim of it. And that's why we have to recognize these things and say, you know what? As much as my flesh wants to pull me to the natural, I need to stay in the spiritual. I need to recognize things that aren't true for the truth's sake. Amen. Glory to God. It doesn't mean we have to make crusades and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that the Spirit couldn't lead us to that. But my point is that we have to stay focused on truth. In fact, one of the things that I've found so often that attacks do to us is they bring us into this place of just focusing on the bad. And when we're focused on the bad, we stop focusing on what God told us to focus on, which is good. See, when trial happens, what do you focus on? The bad. So then you're focusing on the power of the devil. You're focusing on the weakness of your flesh. You're focusing on how this is broken or that is broken. You're focusing on all that can't help. And you're taking your focus off the true help. See, God wants us to keep our focus on him, because when our focus is on him, there's always a way. But when our focus strays, there's not much hope. Amen? Glory to God. So they're spiritually discerned, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Boy, the world doesn't like to hear that. We judge all things. Now, what does that mean, we judge all things? It doesn't mean that we stand there as a judge, jury, and executioner. Glory to God. It doesn't mean that we're going to convince everybody of our way. Do you know a spiritual person doesn't have to talk all the time? A spiritual person doesn't have to say something every time. A spiritual person looks at things, judges them, and decides, I need to stay away from that, or I need to go on with this, or whatever. A spiritual person doesn't need to announce their direction. A spiritual person follows the Holy Spirit, and he goes in the direction he should go. And see, if you're any kind of leader, if you go in the, now my leadership, part of my job is to speak. And so obviously I have to use my words to help direct us. But ultimately, people are going to go in the direction we go, not the direction we say. If I could say, you got to go over there, you got to go over there, got to go over there. But if I ain't ever going over there, you probably ain't going to go either. Why? Because who wants to go where somebody else tells them to go when they're not willing to go? It's one of the problems we have with all this shutdown stuff, right? I mean, let's just be honest about it. When you have people saying, well, you can't go at this restaurant, but then they go to the restaurant. They say, well, you can't go out and get a haircut. But you know, the governors, though, they always had their haircut. Yeah. None of us could, because it was, we're all in danger, but they were safe to do it. You know, we couldn't eat at restaurants, but they, and that's the kind of ideas that I'm talking about. We have to recognize those kinds of things and say, wait a minute, we don't necessarily have to stand on a pulpit in the street and say, hey, they're wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, all this stuff. We can pray for those things, but we can recognize and say, Well, they're not giving us the whole truth. And if they're not giving us the whole truth, then maybe some of what they say isn't completely something I need to concern myself with. This is why it's important to follow God and not man. Amen? Praise God. Oh, this is so good. Praise the Lord. So he who is spiritual judges all things. When it says, again, when it says judges, it is not passing. I'm passing judgment on you. This is what, you know, I know nobody says it like that, but everybody comes, you shouldn't do that. You can recognize that it's wrong and not do it. You don't need to say anything about it. It's not, listen, one of the things that I'm realizing more and more about being a pastor is the things I don't want to do is what pastors traditionally did, because it's traditionally and currently wrong. And that's that my job is not to control your life. Sure, if you have a question, I'm here for you. I'll answer it. But if you don't want to do what's right, I can't make you. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to. In fact, if you're not going to do what's right, I don't even want to know about it. Why? Because it just depresses me. When I preach the word and people come to me and they say the opposite of the word, I'm sitting there like, but I just preached this. I just told you about this. I just told you how to fix this. You know, this stuff happens to me all the time. People, not everybody that comes to me, but there's people that will come to you about stuff. And, you know, and sometimes I'm like, where did you get that? Where did you hear that? I didn't ever say that. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, like Pastor Jeff says, like, no, he wasn't saying that. I wasn't saying that. So, you know, that's what I mean. Like, sometimes I just want to stay out of people's stuff, or all the time I want to stay out of people's stuff. I don't want to know what's going on. I'm excited to hear when you get blessed and stuff like that, you know, and if you need help, don't get me wrong, I'm very happy to help. But I'm going to always point to the same things. Praise the Lord. Being in church, one of the most important things. Find the people that have problems, have them because they haven't been in church. Why does that cause problems? Because you're not under that anointing. You're not in that presence. You're not getting that word, even if you're hearing it on the, you know, that's why we do several services a week. Praise the Lord. You know, another thing, not doing the word, not obeying what the word says. When we preach something and people don't do it, and then calamity happens in your life, you know why it happens? Because you didn't do the word. That's like, I can't change that. People think that I can pray, like, I can't pray against that. Yeah, that's a famous Pastor Jeff quote, right? I can't pray stupid out of you. You can't do it. If you're going to insist on being stupid, you're going to have what stupid gets. Stupid is as stupid does, right? Forrest Gump told us that. Amen. You know, if you're gonna insist on doing things against the word of God, then you're gonna continually get what that does for you. You can't stop it. I can't stop it, and I ain't gonna try to stop it. Amen. Some people are mad because I can't stop it or won't stop it or whatever. Sometimes I watch people stay in cycles of what? Train wreck. Yeah, cycles of train wreck. Amen. Well, I can't wait to. I think if the Lord let me preach what I got on my heart to preach on Sunday, I'm finally going to get to use my drawing skills. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a whiteboard. We got to find that before we leave. But we got a whiteboard that I get to actually draw some things out to help illustrate some things. I was telling my wife this week. I said, like, sometimes I just wish I could draw pictures up here and just leave them up here for people to look at and say, and just point back to them. When people are going, just like point back, just like, see that? That's what happens. That's that. There. That's what I said. Amen? You know, because that's it. That's what the illustrations are for. The help, we go back to the scripture. That's what it's for. Amen? Glory to God. I said, I can't remember who I said. Maybe it was to Josh or somebody. I said recently, I was like, you know, I got to keep going back to that scripture, because we keep needing it. We haven't got it yet. Until we got it so much into us that it's like, oh, that we're doing that, well, then praise the Lord. So where were we? We're at verse, But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? We have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to think like he thinks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's real quick go over to Romans 8. Romans 8, 1. And so how we find our purpose is by digging in and drawing out. Or dropping the bucket and pulling it up and getting what we, you know what I mean? We have to dig into the things of God. We have to follow the Spirit. We have to not be carnal-minded. We have to be spiritual-minded. How do we do that? Well, we learn all the time when we hear the word. See, I'm I'm just going to help you here. Some people spend more time focused on how they perceive something was said than actually what the instruction was. Do you know what I mean? Like, God used a donkey to speak his will. I'm nothing special. You're nothing special. Like God, Jesus said, if they didn't cry out, the rocks themselves would cry out. What's dumber than a rock? Right? There's nothing dumber than a rock. There's no anime. There's nothing in a rock. But he said the rocks would cry out. God doesn't need, we are blessed that he uses us to be part of what he's doing. We are blessed that he decides to use us to voice his words. The fact that we can open our mouths and speak as the oracles of God, and all of us can because we have the word of God to preach. Amen? We can preach at our situation. You should preach it at your situation. You know, part of the preaching, I believe this, part of the preaching style is to help people learn how to stir it up in themselves and then just, you know, like listen, you can't fake it. But what you can do is you can start following God and then you can start, you know how I get preaching? When I get preaching, when it starts coming on me, you know how it comes on me? I get into something real good in the Word. I'm preaching, I'm up here talking about something real good in the Word, and then all of a sudden, something in my spirit just goes off like a rocket, and I just start preaching, it just starts coming out of me. Glory to God, and the fire of God just rises up from the inside, and it just shoots out of my mouth, and it goes out there. And what is that? It's just inspiring you to do the same thing. See, there's not enough people that are preaching the Word. There's not enough people that are digging into their spirits and coming out with what God has. They're not drawing out of that well because they're not filling that well. There's nothing in that well. They haven't spent enough time around God. They haven't spent enough time the Word. They haven't spent enough time in church, whatever the thing is, and they're not having that thing to draw out and fight it with. Sometimes you got to shout at something. Sometimes you got to look at something and get bold. Sometimes you got to not back down. Sometimes you got to stand at that trial, stare at that trial in the face and say, you're not taking me out this time. I'm not standing for it. I'm a child of God, and start giving the Word. Glory to God. That's what preaching's for. You see how it works? I didn't plan that, but it just happens. Because when you start embracing the Word of God and you start saying the truth of God and you make it your own and you say, God's truth is my truth, that's all there is to it. When you start doing, you might not know everything, but by God, you'll know enough. And if you keep going at it, you'll be able to run at it with everything that's in you. Amen? Do we find Romans 8? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. People stop at that. But you can't stop there. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you are walking according to the flesh, yes, there will be condemnation in your life. Why? Because the flesh leads you to do stupid things, and stupid things cause condemnation, and rightfully so. Why? Because it's the stupid things that cause you to die. It's the stupid things that cause death. Amen? And we're not saying, obviously, that everybody who died is stupid. Glory to God. But you know that because there's sin working in the earth. Amen. But the death isn't just death in the physical body. Because we know a Christian never really truly dies. They transform. They transition into another place. We don't really die. And we have to keep that at the forefront of our mind. Christians, you don't die. And so if a Christian passes on, we can be sad because we miss them. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to soon after rejoice because they are in a place that we should long to be. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Because they're in a place where there's no more sin. There's no more trial. There's no more fight that way. There's only good. There's only God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, if you are doing things according to the flesh, you can't claim that scripture. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. So in other words, God gave us the law to make us understand flesh or to make us understand sin, make us understand him. But the law couldn't save us. The law couldn't help us because of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. the flesh always being drawn to sin was always going to go that way. Amen? So the law couldn't fix us. So for what the law could not do, that doesn't mean the law couldn't do something. The law does help us still. As Christians, the law helps us understand God. It helps us understand sin. It helps us understand the law of God. We look at the law of God and we can understand why we can face certain things or why certain things aren't right. It just helps us, amen? We live in a fallen world. The law helps us understand that. But what it could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in what? Us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, here we see it. We need to learn how to be spiritual people. We need to learn how to draw from that fountain within and stop following just our natural feelings. Listen, your natural feelings are probably always wrong. They are. You know what I mean? I mean, have you ever woke up and you just not been in a good mood and didn't like the person next to you? I never have, but she has. Praise the Lord. You know, like there's times where you're not going to feel like it. My wife comes to me yesterday when she gets out of work. She says, hey, because we've been building a gym in our basement so we can kind of get back in shape. Amen. Not anything fancy, but just a little, you know, space that we can go work out. She says, hey, you want to come work out? I'm like, no. And I was serious. And I wasn't gonna. I started, like, I felt like a little kid inside, going like this inside. Like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. And she's going to keep asking me and keep asking me. Well, first she asked me on the phone on her way home. I said, I don't know. She said, well, I'll wait when I get home. And I'll wait. If you think you might, I'll wait. And of course, I'm sitting there and it's just brewing. I mean, you know, and I just, and then she gets home and I'm, you know, trying to be distracted, not my Bible. I was trying to be distracted on my eye device. She's like, well, not now. I'm busy, you know. And then even all the way down there, as I'm walking downstairs, I'm like, I want to do this. You know, my flesh didn't want to do it. My flesh was wrong. My body knows, or my mind knows that my wife was right. Glory to God. And that my flesh, I need to get my flesh in line. Your flesh is very rarely going to lead you right. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy the flesh. Of course, if you live by the Spirit, you will enjoy the flesh more. That's the truth. Like you, because when you live by the Spirit, you'll enjoy the flesh more. Hallelujah. It's such an amazing truth. But like everything is better when you're living right. I'm not pointing at my wife. I'm just saying everything. But yeah, you don't know that, but I do. Everything is better when you're living right. Everything is better when there's no bondage, when you're free, amen? And that's what being free truly is. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the flesh, or set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So again, what we're doing, if we're constantly just thinking fleshly thoughts, what is that? Somebody ticks you off, and you just dwell on that. You just don't like it. This is why I have to get away from the news. It's okay for me to look once in a while, but honestly, I can't spend any time there. Why? Because every time I open it, my mind wants to go to a place of being ticked off. It's righteous anger, but it's wrong that I'm embracing the anger. I don't need to embrace the anger. I need to embrace God, because my anger ain't going to change that. I can stand there and shout about it. Ain't going to change it. How do we know that? President Trump did that 4 years and a lot of stuff didn't change. Yeah. He said all kinds of things out of anger and it didn't change him, did it? But by God, if you took that man and made him real spiritual, he would have been something to contend with. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not judging him or anything like that, but I'm just saying you can know by his words that he wasn't completely sanctified. Amen. And so, like, but we need to be, hallelujah. We need to learn how to be more sanctified. And how do we do that? By not focusing on the flesh, but focusing on the Spirit. Would Jesus have said this? Would Jesus have done this? What would God do now? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond to this? Amen? Do you know that's how we answer questions? And when we don't know what to do, man, the time is gone. When we don't know what to do, how we answer questions is, Lord, show us what we should do in this situation. What is this for? you know, like I've learned, there's certain ways that I've learned things. My wife will come to me and there's certain ways that she does things. Part of a husband and wife is you have to learn how to work within the bounds of both of how you guys learn. My wife will come to me, I can't even remember what it was, but it's this one special thing that works this way with me, okay? She came to me to ask me about something, if I wanted to do something or be part of something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I said, I can't know until I'm at this certain point, whatever it was. You know what I mean? And so when I'm at this, I still don't know what it is. I can't think of what it is. You know what it is, but you can ask her. But when I have to come to a certain place because I know that at that place, that's how God speaks to me about this kind of thing. It's something we do often or something that comes around often or whatever it was. I just know that much, right? Am I right? Yeah. And so when I come before the Lord, I know that I can't sit there thinking about it and trying to figure it out because I'm just going to get nowhere doing that. I know that about me and how the Spirit of God works in me because I've spent time learning that. So if we spend time learning God instead of just following our flesh, we know that about ourselves. We know there's no point in me even talking about this right now. You know, when we were going to buy our first house in Mayville, we had plans. We had looked at a house. We were going to put an offer in on it. It was a Saturday morning. We were going to the realtor to put an offer. They knew that we were coming. They were expecting us. I woke up that Saturday morning with a knowing that we were not to buy the house. So I went and told my wife, and we backed out of it. And it would have been not even near as nice as the house that we have now. But as we kept going, we kept looking for houses. But all of a sudden, I had this understanding. We could look at how the Lord wasn't going to stop me from doing that. It's a lot of times He won't. He'll let you do that just for the sheer of just learning or whatever, or just because you like to. God won't stop you from doing that. But one of the things I knew is I remember when I told her, I was like, we can keep looking at houses, but I know this, that now is not the time to buy the house. It's soon, but now is not the time. So whatever we look at now won't be the house because it's not the time. But see, I learned that. By God. See, we could have made bad purchases. There were several houses that we looked at, we almost put offers in on. We would have made a mistake and not had what we had because we followed the flesh. But because we had that understanding, it gave us peace. Then we didn't have to worry about it. Well, if it's not the time to move, then we don't have to worry about it. Praise God. Can I give you one more example? Because this will help you. When I was younger, I had a motorcycle. When I was younger, I liked riding motorcycles. When I was 16, I bought my first motorcycle against my mom's wishes. She was mad when I brought it home. And then I bought another one a few years later after I had an accident on the first one. And she wasn't happy, any happier about that. But I always liked motorcycles. And for years, I haven't been able to have one. I just couldn't afford it. And it wasn't something that was in my ability. If I did, it would have sacrificed things for my family. I wasn't going to do that. And so, but I always wanted to ride. But then in the last few years, you know, I got to know, you know, Pastor Michael has a nice Harley. And he had told me, anytime you want to ride it, he said, you can come ride it. He gave me that offer when he found out that I liked riding. Because he's just good like that to people, amen. But, you know, I didn't take advantage of that. And I had this thing. It was almost like, you know, I don't know if it's the wisest thing right now to be riding motorcycle around. I just didn't think that way. But one day I was in, the Corey Church, and it was a Saturday night service, of course. And I was in the office, and all of a sudden it dropped in me like in my spirit, and I just knew it was something that I was going to have. I didn't know how. We weren't planning for it, any of those things. And so I came out and I said, I think it was Josh and John, right? I said to them, they were standing out there. And I said to both of them, I said, I'm getting a motorcycle this year. And like, I didn't know how. I didn't know anything about it. But I said, I'm just telling you because I wanted to be an example. I wanted to see how it happens. Later on that year, I got offered, you know, I didn't think much about it. I did look every once in a while, but I wasn't looking at it hard. We drove by one, but I got offered a motorcycle. It was a friend of mine was selling. It was actually a brand new Harley. Only rode it a few times, and he was going to offer me at a deal that was just phenomenal. It was still expensive, but it was a phenomenal deal. I mean, I could have taken it and turned around and sold it and made a couple thousand dollars on it, you know. And so I said, well, I don't know. You know, I know I am sensing one, but I want to, you know, make sure that it's God or whatever. And so I didn't, you know, I put it before the Lord and just left it at that. I don't, for my own stuff, I don't pray about it, or whatever. I just let God bring things to pass. Now, there is a good point to the story. And so, you know, as we serve God, God will give us things that bless us. He'll give us things and lead us into things. But there'll be a blessing. But see, we can jump on something and make it not a blessing. I could have just gone and bought that because it was a good deal. Hey, you ain't going to find a deal like this again. He even told me that, and I knew it. You know, it was right. And it was a beautiful bike, all the stuff. I loved it and all that stuff. We're going to find a deal. But see, listen, if it isn't God, it isn't good. And so I was praying in Corey. I was down in Corey one day, and I was praying. I was not praying about a motorcycle, but I was down there praying for the church. And as I was down there, all of a sudden, I heard in my spirit out of nowhere, I heard, the bike would bless you, the payment would not. Well, there's my answer. So immediately, I just went and text my friend, and I said, this is what I got from the Lord. And he said, well, praise the Lord. And he ended up keeping it anyways. But it was a few months later. Again, I wasn't putting much stock in or thinking into it or whatever. But a few months later, all of a sudden, this door opened for us to get one. And it happened to be a bike that I had always wanted back years ago, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I had really wanted this bike. And that same year, bike, around the same year, became available to me. And it was to such a way that, and I think we're just about to pay off, right? We're just about to pay off. It wasn't that expensive. It was a nice motorcycle, but and it was a Harley, but so it was a good name and all that stuff. But I got it for an ability that, and my wife and I bought it, and we were able to pay it off. But the reason I bring it up is this. It's because one of the things we know about motorcycles is that there can be danger to those things. But see, there's peace when we ride it. Because God wouldn't give me something that I'm going to die on. Amen? And so, I mean, there's still a part we have to play to it. But you understand, like, there's, if all of a sudden, like, the Spirit of God came on me, and it's like, don't ride that bike today, and I go out and ride it, and you hear that I died, that doesn't mean it wasn't a blessing. That's not going to happen, but you know what I mean. But the point that I'm trying to make is that God will lead us into things. He'll lead us to things that bless us. And he'll work it out into a way that's, my wife and I, we use it for date night, and it's something that's paid for. You know what I mean? It's not something that costs us, and it's not, I would have been paying on that other one for years, but just as happy. So this is what we have to understand. As we follow God, of course, I didn't get everywhere I wanted to get tonight, but as we follow God, he opens doors to us that both protect us, that lead us into blessing, but also help us minister to other people. You know, and there are doors with things. Even the natural things that we get, God will create doors for us. So as we go forward, what we need to do is have a heart towards him. And he makes those hard places of our desires, he makes them easy for us. Now, I'm going to say one last thing before I close here. I hesitated for a long time to say about that motorcycle because I was afraid of offense. And this is the thing I want to say about it. One day that I was out preaching and I was talking about it, but I wasn't saying what it was. And I heard in my spirit, if you don't use, like, essentially it was this, if you don't use the things I bless you with as an example, then people won't understand. They'll never get it. And so you have to understand that there's more for you. But at the same time, don't be about trying to make more, because God brings more to you. Amen? And did this all in a place, it happened last year, but he did this all in a place where we weren't increasing in money. The church wasn't paying for it, so don't think that. We didn't increase in finances. We didn't increase, but it didn't cost, it didn't hurt us to get into it. Amen? And that's how God does things. But it's like I told my son. You know, my son is 23 years old. And, there's a desire in him for a lot of things, as there should be in a young man. But I said to him, some things if you wait for, God will bring them, and he'll bring them. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. There's no sorrow when God brings it. So let him bring the things. If there's things you desire, lay them at his feet. You know, and that's all you have to do about that. And so the direction of God will always lead us into more, will lead us into more things. But the more isn't, and I didn't say that because I wanted to promote stuff. I said that because the idea that I really wanted to use it because of the leading of the Lord and how we get to, everything that God has for us.